T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Just kind of just like, you know, whatever. I'm just kind of like, whatever. You know how you say, oh, I'm going to catch up, I'm going to sleep.
Yep.
So that means that when fellas, when women tell you that lie, that they got to go home and catch up on their rest. Like, you ain't got to lie to me if you don't want to hang out. Because that's what they usually say. No, you can't. You just tell them you can't catch up on your rest. It's impossible.
You know, I usually get about 6 hours a night. Those days occasionally that I do get eight, boy, I either feel really good or I feel really bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's weird. I rarely get 8 hours of sleep. I wish I did.
Probably get, it all depends. But probably get like 6, 7.
Today is your day, though, Hugh.
It's National Nap Day. You know I know that day.
But you don't nap, though. You actually call
I go to
sleep.
Bed. Yeah. No, I go to bed. See, I go home and I get under the covers. See, y'all probably go fall asleep on the couch or your favorite chair.
Yeah, my easy chair.
No, I go fall asleep in my bed.
Man, I could be listening to the TV and I go poof, out.
Oh, no, I go to sleep in my bed. So much so that I had to. You know how, like, you eat in your bed and all, you used to do that? Had to stop doing that because that's how you become sedentary. And, you know, that's the worst thing you could do for yourself.
Right.
It's like lay down and eating stuff. I had to quit doing that.
Well, today is a very big day and a very big week. It's going to be, for NFL fans, a wild ride this week. Wednesday at 4 o'clock is when the league year opens. And that's when these trades and whatnot become official. And we have two big trades that will immediately become official, with Joe Flacco going to Denver and, of course, Antonio Brown going to Oakland. We'll talk about those in just a moment. But it used to be that when the league year opened that, you know, everybody was cheating. So they decided to allow cheating to be legal. In other words, teams said, look, this is silly that it's illegal for us to talk to players prior to the league year. So they allowed what they called legal tampering. I think the better term is open negotiations. You can negotiate today and tomorrow and come to terms with free agents beginning today, okay? So you can pick up the phone. Everybody can. It's not against the rules. And you could call the agent and say, okay, we're interested. Let's talk. And you could come to an agreement today. And we may have some guys who are announced that I would imagine will have some free agent news throughout the day, and today and tomorrow. And then it just gets finalized and rubber stamped on Wednesday. So be standing by for breaking news out of the NFL. And let's go first, though, to this Antonio Brown deal. John Gruden and the Oakland Raiders won this in a cakewalk. I know that we've been asking who won this thing. The Raiders won this thing by a mile, in my opinion. They only gave up a third and a fifth. They didn't have to part with a first-round pick to get Antonio Brown.
You know, I would say yes, but I wonder what deal did Antonio Brown put the kibosh on when it came to the Buffalo Bills and what they gave up for him.
I don't know. I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and he put the kibosh. He said, I'm not going to Buffalo.
He put the kibosh on that.
Right. Buffalo may have been willing to give him a second round or a first round. Who knows?
You never know. And I think that at that point, they took whatever they could get.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to – because I think a lot of teams felt like, hey, you know, you look at it, and he had blown it up so much that this probably was the only deal that he would take. Because his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, also alluded that there was a lot of teams that were in the market for Antonio Brown. But maybe the way that Antonio Brown has handled this, you know, with his nickname change and everything, that he put a kibosh on a lot of deals.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the only one that they could take. And so at this point, the Pittsburgh Steelers probably just said, you know what, just take him. Yeah. Let's just move
by the
on.
Way, his nickname is stupid.
Yeah.
Mr. Big Chest? Come
that's
on.
Why I wasn't going to say it, John. I mean, I'm pretty sure people out there heard it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, for a guy that says that this is not about him or he doesn't have an ego, he seems like a little bit of an egomaniac.
Yeah, just a little bit of a diva. All right, we'll talk about Pittsburgh because that's one thing in a moment. First, go to Oakland. What if, and this is, in my world, this is not out of the question. Oakland is, we have no idea who they're going to open with, but first offensive play of the year for the Oakland Raiders, and you hear on television, you know, Raiders first down and 10. Brown splits wide left. Kyler Murray in the gun turns and hands to Le'Veon Bell, and he crashes off the right side. That could happen.
Now you say Kyler Murray, huh?
It could happen. You still have 3 first-round picks. If John Gruden is in love with Kyler Murray, how do you pass that up? If you're the Arizona Cardinals, even if you love Kyler Murray, three first-round picks can make your team, Hugh. And if you're Arizona, you would essentially almost have four because you have the first pick of the second round. You could make your franchise in this draft.
So you're thinking that the Raiders will give up three first-round draft picks to get Kyler Murray just to get the number one pick overall in the draft?
That's what I would ask for if I'm Arizona. You better be in love with Kyler Murray.
Ooh.
I'll give you the number one pick and my third and fourth rounders. But you better give me all three of your first
rounders. The Raiders have the fourth. What is it? I know one of them
number
is the fourth.
Number four. 24 and 27. If I'm Arizona and you are just in love with this idea, I mean, because think about it from Oakland's standpoint. Yeah, you can have three number one picks, but you still have your second round pick. You pick up a third and a fifth, right? If you can get Kyler Murray, if you're in love with Kyler Murray and you can sign Le'Veon Bell, and certainly they're going to be calling Le'Veon Bell today, you would think, do you make your team?
Wait, like I hear what you're saying, but three first round draft picks in a draft that's full of defensive line talent?
I'm just telling you what I'd ask for if I were Arizona.
No, I hear what you're saying. But if I'm John Gruden, I'm not offering that. I mean, I can get by with the quarterback that I have. I do believe that. Now, with the problem is going to be regardless to who you have back there, Carr or Murray back there throwing the ball, is going to be probably Antonio Brown, because now he's going to be the biggest mouthpiece on the offense. See, I think part of his issue was in Pittsburgh was the fact that he didn't have the biggest say. And he was told that. He was told that you were a cog. You were not the biggest cog, but you were a cog in his wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And even during the course of the season, it felt like he started to shift a little bit towards Juju Smith a little bit more. Like, it seemed like he got a little bit more love than Antonio did. So that was probably already in the works. If I'm the Raiders, my first two picks would be defense. I still have to pick. Like, the one thing that John Gruden said last year, was that didn't have any pass rush. And he got killed for that. Be like, wait a minute, you had Khalil Mack. Didn't have any pass rush. And then it later came out that they weren't going to be able to sign it because he was asking for too much money. Okay, so now you have a draft that's laden with young defensive talent.
Oh, I'm not saying they would.
You're not. I'm thinking as a coach, but right. No, I'm saying if you're Arizona, you're supposed to ask for everything.
Yeah,
ask for everything.
Yep.
But I'm just saying, if I'm John Gruden, man, that's a lot to give up for a young quarterback that's going to work with a veteran receiver. That's a lot to ask
for. No, I understand it's a lot to ask for. It depends on how much you're in love with Kyler Murray. Do you think he is a franchise quarterback that changes you? And, again, there's so much going on here. Real quick on the Pittsburgh side, I want to move to the Falcons. Pittsburgh got fleeced here. They only get a third and a fifth. I don't know what's going on in Pittsburgh, but guys are talking their way out of Pittsburgh. They're walking out of Pittsburgh. They're not playing. Le'Veon Bell quit on the team. Antonio Brown quit on the team. There's something seriously wrong with this franchise. They got so burned in this Antonio Brown deal. Not only did they only get a third and a fifth, they got stuck with a $21 million cap hit, a $21 million dead cap hit. This is a disaster for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And whatever's going on between Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger and the rest of that team, it's not good. Hugh, this is by far the biggest crack I've ever seen in the steel curtain. By far.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it has a lot of people talking. And, you know, but I will say that Antonio Brown thing, They had to move on.
I know,
from that time.
I know. They had to, but I mean, there's something seriously wrong. They got to fix it. I don't know if that means getting rid of Mike Tomlin or what.
Wait a minute. Now you want to get rid of Mike Tomlin?
I know. I just said I don't know. They've got something seriously wrong, and they got to fix it. Maybe they did that. Maybe by getting rid of Antonio Brown, they did fix it. I think. Look, that's what they're hoping for. They only got a third and a fifth, and took a $20 million.
I will tell you this.
They better work out.
Some of Antonio Brown's old teammates, they really don't speak that highly of him. They really don't. Now, you know, you have some guys in that locker room that I'm pretty sure he was really cool with. But a lot of guys, like, they don't really speak that highly of him.
Right. No, and that's true, too.
And, you know, when you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers as an organization, they don't change head coaches often. Like, you either have to want to quit or die if you're a head coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's the one franchise that's probably had under 10 coaches
mm-hmm.
in the history of the franchise.
Right.
So it's one of those things where I think Coach Tomlin is entrenched there. I think that going back to when AB –
well, certainly the GM says that.
Well, yeah, and going back to when AB was in the locker room taking video.
Right.
And what was it when they were getting ready to play the New England Patriots and the video came out where he was talking bad about – was that the video when they were getting ready? It was after the game when they were talking bad about the Patriots mm-hmm. and they got wind of it. That you're never supposed to do that. This has been a long time coming. This has been a long time coming.
And there's a lot to chop up here and chew on here from the NFL free agency, which essentially it opens today. Open negotiations with free agents start today, and we may have news. So stay with 92.9 The Game throughout the day. Watch our Twitter as news happens in the NFL. What will happen with Tevin Coleman? That's one question. And we'll get into that here throughout this hour. 404-741-0929. You can always text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929 or tweet us at 929TheGame. Here's a name. You brought it up yesterday. The Chiefs are doing two things. One, they tagged Dee Ford, but they're shopping Dee Ford, and they're looking for, according to all reports, a second-round pick. Green Bay's shown interest in Dee Ford. San Francisco has shown interest in offering a second-round pick to get Dee Ford. But in addition to that, they also cut Justin Houston. Now, it was a time that Justin Houston, what, about a decade ago when he came out of Athens and went to the Bears, was a terror in the league. He slowed down a little bit. Nobody wanted to trade for Justin Houston because the price tag was too big. So Justin Houston's on the open market. My question is, would Justin Houston take a one-year deal, Hugh, to come back to home to Georgia, play for the Falcons for under $10 million, say he did a Dontari Poe? Would he play for $8 million for 1 year to take a discount to come home to play for the Falcons to prove his worth? Could that possibly happen?
I would think so. I would think so. I think that would be a good look for him. You know, because I remember a couple years ago when they were getting ready to renew his contract or something. There was some conversation on whether or not he would come here.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that would be something that would be interesting. I think it would be. It all depends on what he's willing, how much of a pay cut he's willing to take. Because you're talking about how much money he was going to get. I think it was like $15 million or something
right,
like that.
And they weren't.
They're not
going to
pay him that.
No,
but yeah, it's going to be how much money he's willing to take.
Right, and nobody was going to pay him. Because of the fact that, you know, the Chiefs offered him up in the trade block and nobody wanted him. I mean, they didn't even get an – it wasn't like anybody even offered a seventh-round pick. I think the Chiefs may have taken a seventh-round pick for Justin Houston. They would have gotten something. Okay, we'll take a seventh because, right, nobody wanted him. All right, so here's
nobody
my question.
At
his
tag.
Age, at his age, Hugh, is who's better, Vic or Justin, at his age, right now?
I would say that Justin's more proven than Vic Beasley. But this is the thing, John. Some will argue that Vic Beasley probably has a more of an upside because he's younger. That would be the argument that you would be going up against, is that Vic would have a bigger upside.
Well, we got to see that upside, though. I mean,
yeah.
It's got to
show
down.
Because you know what? Because you take out that 15-sack season, then it's no question. It's Justin Houston.
Yeah,
but
right.
He had that 15-sack season.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some who believe that when Coach Quinn takes over this defense, that he can get back to that dominance of being that dominant pass rusher.
Including Coach Quinn himself.
Yes.
Because that's why they paid him this money, that 12.8. Hey, I'd love to see Justin Houston in the Falcons. All right, in a moment, free agency begins. Open negotiations. They call it legal tampering. I'll make it easy for you. It's open negotiations with free agents. Begins today, ahead of the league year starting on Wednesday. Who are the top free agents available, and where does Tevin Coleman rank according to NFL.com? We'll tell you that next. After a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason. Morning show on Sports Radio 99.9 The Game. Don and Hugh from the Kia Studios. Talking a little football this morning as free agency opens up today, because we can get rid of all these silly terms like legal tampering. Just say the free agent window has opened up, because that's exactly what's happened. Today, tomorrow, Wednesday, ahead of the opening of the league year, which officially begins Wednesday at 4 p.m., when you can rubber stamp and sign everything and submit it to the league office, and the Joe Flacco trade to Denver will go through, and the Antonio Brown trade to Oakland will go through, deals that have already been done. Dante Fowler has taken his name out of free agency, signed a one-year deal late last night with the Rams to stay in Los Angeles, and that's giving us kind of a rise to what can the Falcons do in this free agent period here? Can they find somebody to come in and fill a hole for them that might be – somewhat worthy. With Justin Houston coming onto the market, I'll give you another name. You know, would Baltimore, let you know, Terrell Suggs is going into a 17th season.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I know that he's at the end of his career, but I mean, you know, we've seen one of the things that's been true about Dan Quinn. He's brought in, you know, what are the biggest free agents we've had in the Quinn era? Alex Mack, Mohamed Sanu, Don Terry Poe, right? Those are the three big ones.
Dwight Freeney?
Well, okay, yes, but I was going to make another point
okay.
about Freeney.
My bad. Okay, go for it.
Those three were players, and then Freeney was brought in. He was kind of, you know, he was a Dwight Freeney, but he was able to have an impact in that locker room. I mean, high character guy that can, you know, really, that's when Vic had his big year, was Dwight Freeney. And some people say that Dwight Freeney had a direct impact on him. So, I mean, is that something where – do you want a guy to come in and –
I want somebody that can play.
Play, right.
I mean, especially when you're talking about getting to the quarterback. I mean, with all due respect to Dwight Freeney, yeah, he probably taught Vic Beasley a lot, but it didn't stick.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying?
It didn't stick.
And I think you need some people that are going to come in here and that are going to produce. You know what I mean? You need some production.
Well, we keep talking about offensive guard and defensive tackle, and rightfully so. But there are other areas this team has to you know, are we
gotta get a corner.
Yeah, we got to get a corner. And I think that edge rusher with Tack. No.
Yeah, got to get another edge rusher. Got to get an interior rusher.
No, I mean, yeah, I think you've got an interior rusher, and you got to get another edge guy. So,
see, I'm kind of stuck, and for me, John, I'm stuck on younger players because when you look at it in this day and age in the NFL, younger players are cheaper. Now, when you go out and you get like a Justin Houston somebody, you're going to have to massage the numbers a little bit because he's going to cost you a lot of money. And with the situation that the Falcons are looking like they're potentially going to be in which is going to be, you know, they're going to have to spend a lot of money this year to keep a lot of people, it doesn't make sense to pay free agents when you still have to pay your younger players.
And your older players. I want to go back for a moment to Antonio Brown's deal. He's got a new deal in Oakland. It's a three-year deal worth $54 million with $30 million guaranteed. How does that affect Julio Jones?
He's probably looking at that numbers. And he's probably going to want to get paid. He's probably going to look at that and say, you know, he's with one team and he's probably going to say he's the best receiver hands down. Antonio Brown, it's going to be hard for Antonio Brown to put up those type of numbers with Derek Carr, whichever Carr brother that is that's out there, Derek Carr. It's going to be hard for him to put up numbers with him, John. It is. He might have a decent season, but he's not going to be the Antonio Brown that we saw him with Pittsburgh. That's going to take a while.
Unless they fix that offensive line. You think the Raiders' offensive line is a mess.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be tough. I think that when guys go into free agency, number one, you're looking at the money. Because the money is like, you got $30 million guaranteed. I mean, come on. He got more money. Come on now. He got a lot of money. So he's looking at that. But you're talking about building a chemistry with a new quarterback. You're talking about all the frustrations that are going to come with being in a new system, learning different plays and things of that nature. Not saying that Antonio Brown is not going to be able to acclimate himself to that. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to be the same as it was when he was with Ben Roethlisberger. It's just not.
The list of NFL.com's top 101 free agents here is up. And, again, free agency opening today in the NFL. Le'Veon Bell, not a surprise, at number one. It'll be interesting to see how many teams, because there's a lot of teams out there that have a lot of cap room, where the Falcons have almost none, and they still have to massage it around to create cap room. You know, you've got teams. The Indianapolis Colts have $100 million in cap room.
And they're ready to spend it.
So Le'Veon Bell is going to be driving up the market somewhere. You know, and Indianapolis is certainly going to be interested. I mean, Cleveland has like $65 or $70 million in cap money, and they're not alone, by the way. There are other teams out there that have a lot of cap money, right? And so, a lot of guys are going to get paid over the next 3 days. Le'Veon Bell, number one. This is NFL.com. Earl Thomas, the safety, at number two. Trey Flowers, defensive end from New England, at number three. Nick Foles, quarterback, because everybody's thinking Nick Foles is already done to Jacksonville, right? Landon Collins, who the Giants didn't tag. At number five, the safety, Anthony Barr, linebacker, Minnesota, seven. C.J. Mosley, linebacker from Baltimore that Baltimore didn't tag, eight. K.J. Wright, a lot of linebackers at nine. Sheldon Richardson at 10. You also have three more right below, a couple more behind those guys. You have Honey Badger, then Ndamukong Suh, and then Preston Smith. Preston Smith is an interesting guy. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that most fans don't know about, don't talk much about, but boy, he's got some serious edge game. That's a guy that I wish we had some money for, because Preston Smith would be a player I'd be very intrigued by.
I tell you, John, the thing of it is, you're talking about guys that you're going to have to pay a ton of money to.
I know.
And you franchise tagged Grady. That does not send a great message.
Nope.
It doesn't. I mean, you know, and the Falcons are going to do what the Falcons are going to do. They're going to do whatever they feel is the right thing to do. But when you start going out and paying other guys and not paying your guy, that does not send a great brotherhood message.
Tevin Coleman, by the way, number 17 on their list of the top 101 free agents. And we expect that Tevin's going to get paid here because, again, teams have money. And they're going to be looking at, running backs are going to be looked at in free agency. And Le'Veon Bell, number one. Tevin Coleman, I believe, is the number two or three running back on the board. So if you don't get Le'Veon, then a team that needs a running back is going to be looking at Tevin.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to probably look at him. He's a good running back. Really didn't take full advantage of the opportunities that he had last year here when Devontae Freeman got hurt. But a lot of teams will probably look at that and say it was the offensive line of the Atlanta Falcons. They're going to probably say that it was probably tough for him to get going, so that he's going to get money in free agency. See, this is the thing. This is how free agency goes. Falcons are evaluating film on Tevin, and they're looking at the free agent market and what he's probably going to be asking for, and they're like, we're not willing to pay that because we already have a running back at that position that's making that kind of money. So we're not willing to pay two running backs that kind of money. So he's going to go out of free agency and make more money in free agency than he would here.
Now, we have to rely on the fact that Devontae Freeman is going to be healthy and be able to be effective again. And if he is, you know, we know what we're getting. But with Devontae Freeman and Ito Smith, guys that are pretty much the same guy in their kind of body makeup and the style that they play, that doesn't get you third down and one. Now, whether they feel that Brian Hill can do that, that's another position the Falcons are really kind of in need of. I see the Falcons possibly going into the draft for a running back, maybe as high as the third round, maybe the fourth, depending on which backs they're targeting. And I could see them inviting some veterans into camp and maybe even looking at a couple. There are a couple of running backs in the AAF that have done fairly well and made a name for themselves. And so I could see where the Falcons are going to try to get another running back, but they're not going to be going into free agency to get a running back.
No, I don't think so. I think they're going to get some young guys. There's going to be some new, fresh-faced, young talent in this training camp that we're going to be up there at Flowery Branch for.
Right, because of all the positions of need right now, running back isn't the number one position. It's like the number five position of need on this team. We could probably rank them defensive tackle first, edge rusher second, or offensive line second, tied, cornerback then fourth, and then I would say running back is probably your fifth area of need for the Atlanta Falcons. Would you agree with that? Would you say somewhere along those lines?
I would agree with that. I would say that there's – I think – did you say interior lineman first?
Yeah, I said defensive tackle first.
Yeah.
Then I've got a tie for offensive line or edge rusher second. And then
I agree with that.
Yeah, so I would say getting another cornerback in here, unless you're just absolutely convinced that Isaiah Oliver's taking that big step. And really a lot of the cornerback stuff is solved if you get a – defensive tackle that can pass rush and an edge rusher.
I agree.
If you can get that pass rush going, then you know what? Everybody likes to rag on these defensive backs, but in the NFL, the rules are such that I don't care what kind of defensive backfield you have, you can't cover guys for 5 or 6 seconds. That just does not happen. Not in this
day and age. Marcus Peterson for the Rams.
Marcus Peters?
Peters. Called him Peterson. I'm thinking about Adrian Peterson. Marcus Peters. He got exposed a couple of times, so much so that he went up in the stands and was about to put his hands on fans. But you look at him, he was out there doing his thing with a good pass rush. A good pass rush could really help out your secondary tremendously.
It solves a lot of problems, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It solves a lot of problems.
As a matter of fact, I'd argue that if you have a great pass rush, you automatically have a chance to make the playoffs.
You got a great pass rush. You can play zone. You can play cover two.
Right.
All day. You don't have to go man-to-man. That's why most teams play cover two if they got a good pass rush.
You know, this is where – and, of course, the converse is true, too. If you got a couple of guys that are what they say lockdown corners who can guard for 3 or 4 seconds, it helps out the pass rush. So, I mean, one helps the other in terms of today's NFL. But in spread offense NFL, the ball comes out so quick that, you know, it doesn't really matter. I mean, you have to play press coverage. Otherwise, you're never going to get to the quarterback. And if you can't play press coverage because your corners aren't good enough, see, you know, all right, so one feeds the other. You know, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Yeah, it's why it's tough to play defense in the NFL these days.
Yeah, it's a little tough.
Yeah, it's, you wouldn't like this NFL, I don't think.
Yeah, I would. I'd probably get fined a lot.
This is a Mark Owens sighting.
Mark Owens.
What are you slumming for? You're just helping us out. I know Daryl's off today.
Yeah, you know, I'm tired of carrying the load for the midday show for so long. I want to come down here and hang out with you guys. I mean, my back hurts just from carrying that show. So
it also reunites two of the old game time.
Game time.
What?
Right, originals, baby.
I mean, we're talking. Yeah.
Guys are so rowdy.
Yeah.
8:34 on a Monday.
I have a question for Owens in a moment. Okay. Right? We'll do that after the break here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now, your game time traffic. I'm Stephanie Stalwart with Game Time Traffic Center. This update sponsored by BMW. Busy ride out there with all these crashes. Head 1 CH James Parkway at Florence, 20 East over at HE Homes. You're jammed from before Six Flags, 20 West at Lithonia Industrial Boulevard. Had an issue. Crest Southside Perimeter, 285 West at the Airport Tunnel. Looks like it's 285 North before East Ponds with the problem. Then 285 West, top end over at Peachtree Industrial in the right lane. 285 East at Glenridge trying to get the 400. 85 South had one at North Druid Hills. Then now one down around Lenox, downtown connector. It's north at Abernathy, MLK at Fairburn, Maxim at Thornton, Spring near 3rd, Peachtree at Memorial. Yet another incident out there this morning. Through April 1st at your local Atlanta area BMW Center, get exceptional lease offers on the all-new 2019 BMW X5. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Visit BMWATL.com for more details. From the Game Time Traffic Center, I'm Stephanie Stallworth on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Tanitra Batiste.
To put Atlanta up by 3. Good snap, good hold, and the kick is up, and 2 is 2.
On CBS yesterday, the Atlanta legends, Younghoe Koo, as bad a kickers as are in the NFL, maybe Younghoe Koo makes his way back into the NFL. He was in the NFL at one point. The Atlanta legends win. They beat Memphis. They go to 2-3.
All right.
Under Atlanta new legends. Quarterback Aaron Murray.
He was 10 for 10 yesterday.
No, on the season. Younghoe Koo's 10 for 10.
No, that's what I meant. 10 for 10, yes. That's what I meant. What did I say, Aaron Murray? Younghoe Koo, 10
right.
for 10.
Yeah.
What did I say? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Morning show with John
that's
and
Hugh. That's what Hugh. I get for just blurting stuff out.
Blame it on daylight saving time.
I'm blurting it out like I got Tourette's.
Wait, there are AAF power rankings? Are there really?
Yeah, even though they only play 10 games.
Well, all right, let's see where.
We're at the halfway mark.
Of the 8 teams in the league, let's see where. Well, they had. Oh, this is before yesterday. They had us at 8th. Oh, well, we moved up because we beat the number 7 team in Memphis. So we moved up at least one spot.
Where's
maybe
it, 3-2?
2-3.
Yeah.
The AAF finally did the right thing and dropped ticket prices yesterday.
Oh, did they really?
They were selling tickets for $11, which is what they should have been doing from day one.
Yeah.
I mean, now, the stadium has been filled at Turner Field with a bunch of Georgia fans. Now you've got Aaron Murray under center.
Right.
Hopefully leave him there.
You
can get Georgia fans down there, but you got to have the right ticket prices.
You know, I just don't get this, how they didn't start him from there. They had the number one pick of the draft. They take Aaron Murray, and then they bench him for Matt Sims. Okay, whatever.
Because he wasn't playing well, and Matt Sims played better than he did initially. I understand what y'all are saying. I mean, because he is from Georgia, he's a local kid, but.
But never had the opportunity.
Yeah.
He got, one snap in the first 3 games?
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on if you're the legends right now, what's your goal? To round out the season with a couple of wins and get some eyes on you? Or
yeah, put butts in the seats.
Butts in the seats. Butts in the seats.
Aaron Murray sells tickets.
Yeah, and they figured that out. And he got a win. He scored way more touchdowns than I thought he would score at all yesterday. Because I said he wasn't going to score any.
We have a busy show ahead. Josh Pastner, top of the hour, to
join
us.
I like how you just kind of glossed
I know,
over that.
To join us and talk about Georgia Tech. They open the ACC tournament tomorrow. He'll join us live. Then Mike Conley is going to jump into the show, and we're going to get the voice of United to explain to us what the heck is wrong with his team. Mark Owens has jumped in here with Daryl off today to fill a seat. And I have a question for Mr. Raves, Mr. Chop. What do you have a nickname with what you do?
That guy on the big screen, give me something for free. That's actually what's on my name tag. The official title is in-game host, but I get everything from, hey, you, hey, give me something.
You're that guy.
That guy. Aren't you
Mr.
that
Free.
Guy?
Mr.
Yeah.
Free.
Big fake teeth guy.
Yeah. Earlier this morning, we were talking about, you know, Josh Donaldson and, you know, his desire to bat second in the lineup. He's made that clear.
Mm-hmm.
So I came up with a compromise that I think works for the Braves. All right, let him bat second. I want Acuna in the leadoff spot. So you put Acuna leadoff, you put Josh second, and you put Freddie third. Okay, you do that for the top of the first inning. But in that lineup, you put Ender batting ninth. So the remainder of the game, it becomes de facto Ender leadoff, Acuna second, Donaldson third, and Freddie fourth.
I don't hate that, but Donaldson's got to prove it. Because he's an unknown to Braves country right now.
Who said that this morning when John Fricke presented this lineup?
Arthur
I
Trish.
Said the same thing. I said the same exact thing. I said you're putting a lot of lofty expectations on a guy who hasn't shown you anything in the last two seasons.
The guy, he has the resume.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
Yes.
Now go prove it.
Yes.
And it goes back to the, you know, Brian McCann conversation we had. You hear Tricky Ricky in the afternoon's Midday Show. Best producers in the world, Midday Show.
wow, Arthur.
Hey, shameless plug.
You
he
might
said
wanna,
best producer of the Midday
you know
Show.
What? Yeah.
The reuniting of Mark and AT won't last
very
for another
long.
Minute.
I'm calling Cordell and Rachel right now. I love having BMAC back. I love having him in there. But at the same time, he doesn't have to go out to prove himself to me. He is there as a leader, as a locker room leader. I don't expect him to hit 30 home runs and have a 300 batting average for the entire season. I just need him to be a leader and show up when Flowers needs a rest.
You know, it's funny because I said the exact same thing. And I was accused of, not by you, but some of the fans that are listening, saying that his pressure and expectations, like he's expected, if you pay him that kind of money, he's expected to go out and hit you at least 30 home runs.
No. And then if those are your expectations for Brian McCann, you need to temper those.
No, for Donaldson.
For Donaldson.
Again, it goes back to the unknown. He's coming off injury. We haven't seen – how much spring training have we seen from him?
One game.
I know it's not fair.
I know.
You know, you have you know, fringe Braves fans who we lose one spring training, go, season's over. I'm selling my tickets. I'm not going to –
What was the Braves record in spring training last year?
I don't know because I don't care.
What's Did they their win record? The NL East?
My care about coming into spring training is everybody comes in healthy. I mean, look, you had was it Newcomb or Freed that went out last week for a scratch on his pinky? Do you think he would have come out of a major league game had he had a scratch on his
that
pinky?
That would be a big fat no.
Yeah. So spring training, you know, just keep yourself healthy, get warmed up, get ready to go, show some power. I do want to see some more from Folty. Because I think Folty could and should be the ace this year. His quote-unquote injury has me a little concerned.
If you can't go opening day, you got to go with Gausman. But I will say that Pache hitting home runs Friday and Saturday was a good look.
It's a great sign.
You know, I mean, and if Duvall can't cut it, then fine. You know, I have no problem starting the season with Pache in the big club.
Can I ask you a question?
Uh-huh.
Who has more pressure this year, Ronald Acuna or Donaldson?
Donaldson. I think Acuna is just relaxed, and he's under a rookie contract. I mean,
Acuna.
Really?
Yeah, I would say so. Because now you're looked at as the darling. You're like the young up and comer. And who was the other young man? Soto from I'm talking about from the
Soto.
Nationals.
Yeah,
Juan Soto. Like the young kids came up last season in baseball, and they showed out. I think it's on the young cats, and you know you're talking about who is the young man from Guerrero Jr. That's coming up.
Not coming up.
No, but they were talking. But they're the future. Like
right.
They're not bringing him up because of they're trying to get that 1 year control over.
Mm-hmm.
But the Alberto Guerrero Jr. That's who
Vlad
it is, right?
Guerrero.
Vlad Guerrero. Thank you. I knew I would get it right eventually. But still, that's the future of baseball. That is the future to me of baseball is the young kids. So it's more pressure on the younger kids to come up and show out than it is, I would say, for Donaldson. It's on Acuna. He has to be the guy that he was last year.
The nice safety blanket we have with Donaldson is that we still have Johan Camargo. So, I mean, you know,
Wait a minute. What'd you say? What did you just say? Hold up. Johan Camargo. Wait a minute. The same guy you wanted to trade, like, it was about, 15 games into last season? Because he didn't show you a whole lot?
I think Camargo puts more pressure on Dansby. I think Dansby needs to have a banner season because Camargo's there and he's waiting. And some people say that he should get the job at short over Dansby. So I think Dansby needs to show
out. Dansby's wrist is still having wrist issues. Oh, It's amazing. I'm glad you've turned the corner on Johan Camargo a little bit, John. Freaking,
I'm a Johan guy.
Boy, I remember sitting here.
I am now Johan Fricky.
Hey, we got to get him out of here.
Johan Fan Club. President and CEO John Fricky.
Johan right Fricky, yeah.
Johan Fricky.
We got to get him out of here. Johan has to go. Okay. All right, dude.
Well, what about Frank DeBoer?
Frank DeBoer. Oh, see, there you go. Oh, you hit hot buttons this morning.
Yeah.
He got trigger. What is it? Trigger words?
Can he play short?
Mike Connie at 9:20 for you United fans. We're going to ask the voice of United what the heck he sees.
Yeah, that definitely.
Josh Pastner, head coach of Georgia Tech, live next. ACC tournament opens on Tuesday. I'm going to talk some tournament week with the coach as we continue on the morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as always on our website at 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.